bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Live in Word with Pastor Mensah Otterville. And now, today's word.
You know, many times people think that if you don't know what to do, then you can be a pastor. I've actually had people come to me and say, you know, can you help my brother? You know, he's just at home. He's not doing anything. Can you help him to be a pastor? Now, if he's doing nothing at home and he becomes a pastor, he'll do nothing too. Because people who do nothing will do nothing. One of the worst things you can tell somebody when you're looking for a job is to say, you know, I'm sitting at home, I'm doing nothing. Can you give me a job? Now, if you tell me that, I will not give you a job. But if you say, I'm sitting at home, I have no job, but this is what I've been doing, I've been working, I've been trying to do this and do that and do that, then I know that you are entrepreneurial, you are resourceful, you are somebody who can do something out of nothing. But if you are sitting at home doing nothing, who wants to give you a job? And please, all of you who employ people, don't give anybody a job who is doing nothing. So somebody comes for an interview, you ask him, what are you doing? Nothing. So what do? I'm at home. What do? Nothing. Where have you been to? I've got this degree and I've got that degree and I've got MBA and I've got it. And what are you doing? Nothing. Now, if you employ such a person, well, that's up to you. So God is going to use Elisha. First sign is that he's resourceful. He is committed. He's plowing with 12 oxen. Second thing you note about Elisha is that he's receptive. He's receptive. The moment the mantle touches him, the Bible says he left his oxen and ran after Elijah. He was not told whether to run or to stay, but he was receptive. He was receptive to this moment of destiny. He left what he was doing. And he pursued Elijah. Third, he was responsible. He was responsible. How do we know? He sought permission to separate from his parents. He worked in the family business. The family trusted him. His parents trusted him with 12 oxen and other employees. Now he's going to change vocation. He doesn't just take off. He said, let me go and settle accounts with my parents, then I can come follow you. Whenever God is shifting you from one season to the another, one place to the other, it's important that you leave your back well. If you get a new job, go tell your former boss, sir, I've gotten a new job and I'm moving on. Don't just one Monday, you're supposed to show up. There's an assignment for you, you don't show up. That's irresponsibility. If you believe you must move on, go and settle with a place where you are committed. So he was responsible. He sought permission to separate from his parents. Fourth, he was resolute. He killed his oxen and burnt their equipment. In other words, he made sure, I'm through with this farming. I'm not going to be a farmer again. I'm responding to this call. He was very determined. A very determined and resolute person. Killed the oxen, burned their equipment. Number five, he readjusted. He fed people with the meat of his oxen. He demonstrated that from that time onwards, his focus would not be working to feed himself. He's going to work to feed other people. All this time, his focus has been work and make my life better. But from now on, he's going to work to make other people's lives better. So he burned his oxen and fed people with it. It showed where his ministry was going to be. He readjusted his focus from feeding himself to feeding other people. And number six, he was respectful. He followed Elijah and became his servant. He followed Elijah and became his servant. He moved from being the boss of his farm workers to becoming the servant of Elijah. Now, if you were observing this, you would say the guy has stepped down. He has gone lower. 11 people look up to you. You have farm workers. You have your own business. You're doing well by yourself. Why do you lower yourself? And I'm sure if Elisha was a Ghanaian, he would have a lot of people come to him and say, are you in your right mind? Are you thinking? Look at all that you have. Look at all that you've achieved. Now, why are you doing this? Why have you gone to be somebody's small boy or small girl? They never say small girl. They always say small boy. Why are you doing boy, not girl? Because there will always be people who will criticize certain moves you make and make you feel as if you lost your brain. Here you are. People look up to you. You are a boss in your own right. There are 11 people who look up to you. You have a field you are plowing. You're doing well as a businessman. One day you are sitting here somewhere. This guy comes, hits you with a mantle, and you leave everything, kill your oxen that you are plowing with, feed people with it, cut links with your past, and you don't even go to be an associate. You go to be a servant. But that is the unique thing about Elisha. Because if there's going to be a transference, the first thing that starts is the spirit of a servant. Not the spirit of a master, the spirit of a servant. So Elisha turned back from him. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Now, what does it mean that he became his servant? It means several things. First, it means he surrendered his own agenda. Many who seek to receive the mantle of leadership never surrender their own agenda. They stay around the person they want to receive from with their own agenda, always looking for an occasion to advance their own interests. And Gehazi was a clear example. Judas was a clear example. People who are seeking their own agenda. But Elisha became his servant. He surrendered his own agenda. Not only did he surrender his own agenda, he submitted himself to Elijah. And that was a willing choice. It was not forced on him. It was not demanded from him. Elijah did not ask for loyalty or submission. But Elisha chose to be a servant. He submitted himself. In the process of becoming a leader, there will always be a time of submission. There will always be a time of submission. There will always be a time of surrender. One of the reasons why it's difficult sometimes in certain cultures for there to be progressive leadership is because people don't understand what it is to serve. There's always a personal agenda. There's always a desire for personal interest, and there is lack of submission. Thirdly, to become his servant, he shouldered Elijah's burden. He made it easier for Elijah to do his work. He made sure that Elijah would not carry his burden alone. He did for Elijah what Elijah couldn't do for himself, or what was weighing him down. He took on that burden. And fourthly, he became his servant Because he supported Elijah's vision or his interest. He took sides with Elijah. Elijah's battles became Elisha's battles. Elijah's enemies became Elisha's enemies. You cannot be on different sides with your master. You cannot say, well, that's his position, but this is mine. If there's anything I have observed, you know, working in different places or observing people in different places, is that, you know, in different cultures, and I don't know whether it's absolutely true, but in different cultures, if you go to some of the advanced economies, and I don't want to mention their name because I don't want them to feel too big, but you go to these advanced economies and you go to somebody who works in a department store, and I won't mention the name of any store because I'm not promoting them, but you go to a department store in some country and you just pick a shop assistant and start talking to them about where they work, and you'll be amazed the enthusiasm with which they speak. They praise their corporate organization. They know the vision of where they are working. They speak highly of their products. They compare their products with other competitors. And they always insist their products are the best. And they go on and on and on. They talk about their bosses. And they are speaking highly of their bosses. And I've seen that in several countries. But in most of our environments, when somebody works in a place and you ask them opinion, there's going to be complain, and undermining. Sometimes they undermine their own product, their own organization. They speak against it, speak against the boss, speak against everybody else. I think it's one of the reasons why it's difficult to pass on successive success stories from one generation to the other in our part of the world. Because there is an undermining mindset with which we work. That wasn't Elijah's and Elisha's relationship. Elisha shouldered the responsibilities of Elijah. Pursued his interest. And if you look at their relationship, there were great opportunities for Elisha to turn against Elijah and criticize him and fight him, but he never did, because he had his mind to receive a double portion. He wanted to be greater than the previous generation. If this generation will be greater than the previous generation, then our attitude has to be different. We cannot continue undermining everything and gaining from it at the same time. You cannot benefit from something you disrespect. And the culture of respect is critical to succession. If there is no respect, there will be no passing on. And we see in Elijah, we are not told who is older and who is younger, but it's likely that Elijah was older. But, you know, the Bible later says Elisha was bald. So we don't know whether old age bald or grown bald. But we're not told their ages. But we will assume fairly that probably Elijah was older. But this guy was already an established guy. And he works in this organization and he's not complaining. How many of us can say, this is where I work and I'm just happy? And I speak well of my place of work. Anytime a leader finds people whose hearts are joined to his vision, it's easy for whatever they carry to be transferred to those people. Elisha obviously supported Elijah's interest. He didn't have an opinion that was different from what Elijah had. So how was he a servant? Now, we're not told too much about how he served Elijah. But in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11, we find an indication there that gives us a clue as to what it meant when he says that he served him. This is when they were looking for a prophet. Elijah is long gone, and Elisha is on the scene. And it says, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord from him? So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Note that phrase, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. So this passage tells us how Elisha served. He poured water on the hands of Elijah. He focused on the man Elijah and not on his gift. He poured water on his hands. He washed Elijah's hand and not his own hand. His attention was serving him. And if you look at the passage, he didn't go in first to learn how to prophesy. He went in just to meet the man's physical needs. Wash his things, wash his clothes, wash his hands. In our part of the world, we'll say iron his clothes and do what we call menial job, polish his shoes. Did you say you want to be a prophet? Yes. Why are you polishing shoes? Is that prophecy? But the first step for Elisha was servanthood. Servanthood. The step for greatness starts with servanthood. And it jives with what Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 and 26. Jesus called to them, servants, says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. How many of you really want to be great? Okay. Now, he didn't say, if you want to be great, go and print a card with your name on it and your titles on it. He didn't say, if you want to be great, go and sell yourself. You know, these days we believe in marketing yourself. Go and sell yourself. And when people say sell yourself, it means speak more highly of yourself than you ought to. Have you read the kinds of CVs or resumes that people put out these days? And they talk about, you know, I'm able to do enterprise-wide this, and I'm a good team player, and I'm this, and I'm that. And it's so nicely written. And the question is, if you are all of this, why are you that? Don't you think? I mean, if you were as good as the paper says you were, you wouldn't be sitting in front of me looking for this job. You'll be the best thing since chocolate. Everybody will be out there looking for you, but we are in an age of self-promotion. And people promote themselves beyond their abilities. But Jesus says, if you're going to be great, you don't promote yourself. He says you have to be a servant. That's what Elisha understood. The way to greatness is through service. The way up is down. Can you imagine the kind of work environment we'll have and the kind of people we'll produce if young men and women became Elishas and entered into a workforce with the attitude of Elisha? In Luke chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus says, and if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Two important concepts. Servanthood is the path to greatness, and stewardship is the key to ownership. If you've not been faithful, if you've not been a steward of another man's, who will give you your own? The path to leadership, impartation, starts with being a servant. And that is where Elisha started with. Now, as we will learn later on, he later received a double portion of what Elijah had. In other words, he became greater in terms of the volume of his work and activity. He became greater than his master. But he didn't start by just desiring greater. He started by serving. And especially for our young men and women, I know you are very hungry for success. And it's good to be hungry for success. But if you're going to be great, you're going to serve. If you're going to receive a double portion, you're going to serve. I told you the story years ago of a young man who came to see me. Well, I was young at that time, and he was young too. But I had been in ministry for a while and had a pretty successful church. You know, those were the early days when we were in Baden Powell Hall. We had a couple of thousand people. At least by those standards, we were doing quite well. And this guy came to me and told me that God had told him that he'll be greater than me. Some people are very bold. I mean, if God has told you that, don't tell me. Keep it to yourself. But he sat in front of me and said, God told me that I'll be greater than you. I said, wow. And what else did he say? And he said, God told me to tell you that whatever you are doing is an introduction to what I'm going to do. I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. Absolute truth. He said, what you're doing is an introduction of what I'm going to do. And he's sitting in front of me telling me that. I said, wow, I'm in trouble. My replacement has already been found. And I'm very young in ministry. And then he said, God said, you are my John the Baptist. In other words, he's Jesus, I'm John. So he's already put himself in the place of Jesus. I said, wow. A greater than John is sitting in front of me. And then he started talking about my ministry and all the things I'm not doing right and all the mistakes. And he says, you could do this and you can do this and you are not doing this. And I'm patiently listening to him. And he's just rattling all of these things and quoting scripture in addition. I was very patient, you know, because who knows? This is Jesus and, you know, I may miss the rapture if I don't listen to him. So I said, let me listen. So he went on and told me about all the things God had told him to do and the kind of church he's going to have and how big his church will be and all of that. But, you know, at the back of my head, I was saying, I mean, let's face it. At this point in time, I've done far more than you have done. So even if you be greater, don't you think you should come and ask me humble questions? Don't you think you would say, listen, I, in my back of my mind, I know I'll be greater than you. But let me start studying what you have. At least you have done something more than me. So let me study. Let me learn from. Let me ask questions. Let me learn. He wasn't learning. He was teaching me. So I started waiting for his greatness to manifest. That year, I didn't see much. Then he started a church, and may God forgive me for telling this story. He started a church. So I said, the great one has started. Jesus has started his church. Let's see how it will go. So I watched, you know, a year later, 2 years later, I saw him. I said, how is the church going? He said, well, you know, God is doing great things. God is doing great things. People are coming. How many people? We have just about 10, 15 people, but, you know, God is doing great things. Don't despise the days of small beginnings. I said, I'm not despising, you know. 5 years later, how are things going? Things are still moving, you know. God is still doing his thing. God is still doing his thing. So I lost contact with him, and about 20 years later, I asked, so when did God do his thing? I asked a friend of his, I said, what happened to this young man? He's abandoned church, didn't work, apparently. Jesus didn't show up. And he's actually left the ministry doing something else. And yet he starts sat in front of me and never asked me one question about how I got to where I got to. At least if I've gotten to 2,000 and you want to get to 4,000, don't you think you should know how I got to 2,000? Then you wouldn't know how to get to 4. But you are from 0 and you don't even want to inquire anything from me. Don't you think you should come and sit in my ministry and learn a few things and come to me and learn a few things from me and let me impart some wisdom to you? It may not be accurate wisdom. It's still John the Baptist's wisdom. It may not be up to Jesus. But don't you think John the Baptist was necessary? And Jesus had to base his ministry on John? So for most of you young people who are so highly minded that you believe you're going to be greater than everything that has come ahead of you, if you want to be the Elisha who does a double of what the Elijahs are doing, you start where Elisha started. You start with being a servant. You're going to serve somebody. You're going to pour water on somebody's hand. You're going to learn. You're going to throw away your own ambitions. You're going to kill your own oxen. You're going to distribute the flesh of your oxen. You're going to burn your own implements. And you're going to submit to an Elijah and say, I've done so much by myself, but I want to do far more. And you are the key to the far more. And I choose to serve under you. That is the beginning of greatness. You do it with sincerity, you do it with integrity, you do it without complaining, you do it shouldering the burden, you do it with respect, and over time, the double portion will rest upon you. For this generation which wants to do double portion, this is your key to greatness. Start with Elisha, and out of Elisha, you'll find your way forward. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebi, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otebi. Email otebi@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.